I want to talk to you this morning. There's a word that's been in my heart, just simmering and turning over and changing and thoughts that were added to. I want to talk to you this morning about defeating discouragement. I believe that God has lined us up this morning. Is there anybody here that's ever faced discouragement? And those that didn't put their hand up, why are you lying on a Sunday morning? I just want to know that. No testimonies right now. I'm kidding. Listen, some of you, though, are in the midst of it right now. And times of discouragement, the definition of the word discourage, it means to deprive of courage or to deprive of hope or confidence. And maybe the discouragement that you've experienced was that of a minor or short-term thing, or maybe it's so major this morning that it's opened the door for severe depression that has sucked you in into this dark hole. And whatever level that there are that you're at, I don't feel that you're alone or somehow deficient in your faith or in spirituality if you are walking even presently through a time of discouragement, if you're dealing with that. Some great people of God in history as well as in the Bible have experienced discouragement. And I want to just glance at a few of them. The different writers in the book of Psalms, you'll see where they experience this. One is King David himself, Psalms 119, verse 25 from the New Living Translation. He said, "I lie in the dust, completely discouraged. Revive me by your word." There's a prayer. His prayer is still going upward. Listen, I want to encourage you that before our gathering time is over, I believe that God wants to help us lift our head up. The Bible says in Psalms, I think it maybe is chapter 3, but he says that God is the glory and the lifter up of our heads. When we're discouraged in these things, our head tends to be this way. But this morning, I trust that before we part and go different ways today, that we can sense God's hand under our chin, maybe not physically, but spiritually and emotionally, to raise us up, our eyes refocused today. So David went through it. Moses went through incredibly discouraging times. His prayer to God, I hope you haven't prayed this week, but maybe so. This is Moses' prayer to God. Numbers 11, verse 15. "If this is the way you're going to treat me, just kill me now and end my miserable life." Would you say he was discouraged just at least a little bit right there? I say quite a bit. Jeremiah went through times of discouragement. Paul did. Peter did. Even Jesus, just before his crucifixion, Matthew 26, 38 records, he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." Severe discouragement. We all experience opportunities to be defeated in discouragement. But this morning, I want to look at five thoughts, five considerations that will maybe help us defeat discouragement rather than being defeated by it. Because I really want to see each of us equipped to rise up and defeat discouragement. Again, not that we won't experience it, but that it won't stop us. It won't be a stopping place for us. We'll go beyond that. Five things. If I get to, I may only do four. I'm not sure this morning. Number one, these are just considerations in those times of discouragement that may help give us some perspectives as we journey through it. Understand that there are times and seasons in God. Understand that there are times and seasons in God. Sometimes discouragement comes when we don't feel that something is happening quickly enough. You know, it's not working. It's not coming together. Anybody relate to that? I just needed it like, you know, yesterday, last week would have been fine. And, you know, we've probably all heard the saying, well, God is never late. He's always on time. Anybody heard that? But the PS to that I've also heard is that, but God also misses some excellent opportunities to be early. If he's never late, he sure misses some good time to show up early. And we've seen that. Some things aren't happening. And I submit this to you this morning. Some things are not happening in our lives because it's not time yet. When weather does crazy things, as it does so frequently in Texas, and you know, one extreme to another, it demonstrates this timing issue in nature itself. In spring, as trees are budding and as they are right now, and they're blossoming, if there comes a late freeze, as it often does in Texas, because it's like that blast of winter again, a frost can kill those blossoms, and therefore much of the fruit would be lost as a result. We, in our natural lives, we want something to happen right now oftentimes, but if it did, some of that time, it would be out of season, the wrong time, and the wrong results. God knows His timing, even as it relates to these seasons in our lives. There's a phrase used a number of times in the Bible, two words, it's called due season. Say that with me, due season. It means the opportune or seasonable time, the right time. One passage is 1 Peter 5, 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, when? In due time. The next verse, and it specifically more relates to the area of discouragement, is Galatians 6, verse 9. And if you can find that in the New Living Translation, Tanya, I'd like to look at that after this. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in when? Due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. Do you have that in the New Living Translation? I sprung that honor. You're so good. Thank you. So read this with me. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. In due season. Listen, that in discouragement, walk on through, because waiting on the right season. Oftentimes, the seasons of God are when He's working to develop and mature us, to bring us into that due season. Some difficult times in my life, when I look back on those, I see that God was preparing me for what He still had out into my future. And no, I don't want to go through them again. Can I get an amen for your experience? No, don't do it again. But those and those developing times, maybe where you are, where I am, they relate to financial decisions or career decisions, job decisions, ministry areas. May relate to 1,000 other things. Don't be discouraged in your waiting, and don't quit. Don't give up. That's really important. Just seek to realize there are times and seasons of God. There's a song that the worship team leads us in. It's called God of My Days, King of My Nights, Lord of My Laughter, Sovereign in Sorrow. I forgot the rest of it. Prince of My Praise. You guys know it. Because Prince of My Praise, Love of My Life, You Never Leave Me. I feel a song coming on. Help me. I did have to help me with the words. Most likely it looks that way now. But is anyone here, but about the season thing that God is doing in our lives, have you eaten unripened fruit before that was pulled before its time was allowed to ripen? I'm not sure which one of you did it, but it's within the last year or two, I think somebody brought some persimmons by the office, the church office. They were unripened persimmons. Let me just ask, have you ever tasted green persimmons or unripened? Anybody in here? I feel good. There's about a dozen or so, maybe others, who experienced that. If anybody offers you an unripened persimmon to eat, just say no, thank you very much. Because when you eat it in its unripened state, it's some film that just goes all on the inside of your mouth, and it is yucky. If you can just join me and say, yuck, ugh. No, I'm kidding. It's something about that. Listen, the reality is, as it applies to us, is that when we can make some things happen in our lives. I can yank some fruit off the tree. I can manipulate some circumstance in my life. I can do some things, even that's outside of God's will. Can I hear it? Amen. We can make some things happen ahead of maybe a due season or ahead of an appropriate time. But when we go there, we sort of get to eat the bitter fruit of our choices at times. Let God take care of what needs to happen in each season of our lives, the times and seasons of God. Let God work and develop in us and through us what he desires in each appropriate season. And don't let discouragement cause us to run out and jump seasons. Amen. Cross seasons inappropriate. Second consideration, number two, is release what God says to let go. Release what God says to let go. I take this several directions. I trust it's going to apply to us in our lives. We set ourselves up for discouragement if we continue to hold on to what God has directed us to let go of. Amen. It's just me and one other person right here that relates to that. But I know about that part too. Perhaps it's a relationship. Perhaps it's a friendship. Perhaps it's a partnership. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33, New Century Version says, do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Just kind of look over at somebody close to you and wink at them right about now. And that's just not saying anything. I trust that God is forming godly, good relationships. But we beware of that. Sometimes you've got to let go. But in this thought to consider about sources of discouragement, don't limit this to relationships about releasing when God says what God says to let go of. Maybe God's been speaking to you about an area of disobedience to him that we need to let go of. It's like sometimes we walked on this way, and it's like there's, okay, you know, it's okay. And God begins to zero in that area. No, I've let that walk with you, but I'm putting my finger on that area. And as he does, it becomes very clear that it's decision time. Then you know that you can't go on properly in God and hold on to disobedience any longer. Release what God says to let go. I'll explain the overview of this. Of course, God gives us a free will with which to make a choice. And we're free to choose, but we realize that whatever direction we choose, there's a consequence attached with that. Obedience, rebellion, all of that. Freedom of choice we have, but we can't select our consequence separate from that choice. I remember a guy in the Bible named Jonah. Got a little book of the Bible named after him. He was free to make a choice, but when he chose contrary to the will of God, a storm and a fish were released into Jonah's future. He would have been better off to let go of his stubborn will and embrace God's will at the first. And we can avoid a lot of unnecessary junk in our lives if we let go of what God tells us to release. There's another perspective of this release thing, and this is not a release in a negative sense, like letting go of wrong relationship or something sinful. Maybe it's a release even in a more positive way. Some of you may be involved in things that God didn't call you to do, and you've been set up for frustration and discouragement there. Word of caution, beep, beep, beep. Wait a minute, don't jump out and quit your job right now. You say, well, I don't like my job. Don't go do that. Give your resignation tomorrow in hopes that God will give something more suitable to you. Seek God's will for what he does have for you. We've watched God open up those incredible doors with people, and let him do that, and then you can step through that door. Don't go resign the ministries that you're involved in today. We earlier saw how different people, whether it was David or Jeremiah or those guys, were in the will of God. They were in the will of God, but still had to press through to the other side of discouragement. Are you with me yet? Do realize, though, that God's got a plan for your job, your career, your family, your ministry involvement, all of that. But hear this, before you quit or change or leave what is uncomfortable, by just interpreting that those uncomfortable feelings are showing you that you should let go, realize this, if you can throw that point up on the screen, discomfort is not necessarily an indication of being outside of the will of God. Stay with me a few more minutes. Discomfort is not necessarily an indication of being outside of the will of God. Again, in some times of discomfort, it was during those times that God was preparing are developing some things, working some things out in my character and in my life. in the job and the ministry that was, it was even creating the discomfort. Well, I don't like discomfort. Are y'all together with me? Let me take the easy route. But God's, sometimes he was using that, those pressures to mold and to shape and to sand some things, to chisel some things off. If it's uncomfortable where we are, it might be good to ask the Lord, is there something you're trying to work out or work into me in that process upstairs? I'm just going to skip those next scriptures. Concerning the calling of God, he'll often stretch us beyond our comfort zones. Has anybody found that to be true? But it's not God that will stretch us outside of our gift zones. In other words, if you cannot sing or carry a tune at all, he probably has not called you into a worldwide singing ministry. Just a clue. I'm just helping you out there. Because your calling must intersect at some point with your gifting. That's kind of the way God does that. But understand this, that even your gifting may be in such a seed form. It needs to grow and develop and mature. But discouragement can come from continuing to try to do what God did not call you to do. I do remember, and I shared this before here, I think it was 14, I was about 14 years old, and they had a youth night at the church I grew up in, and some way I got selected to preach that. Pages of notes, I don't remember how many pages of notes. Again, I think I was about 14 years old, and got up and poured my heart out on my notes. My words spoke, what a dynamic message. Lasted about 5 minutes, went like that, and I knew that, you know what, I marked that off my list. God sure didn't call me to speak in public. I just go play the bass again. I like that. I can do, listen, what I'm saying is some of your giftings are in seed form, and they're developing, and don't squash that in God. Just continue to serve on your discovery journey. Serve. Investigate how God would develop things and where he would plant you. Don't just park and wait for God to come up and slap you. Say, there's where I want you to be. Let's walk in, out in service. Galatians 5:13. He said, my friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity, say that with me, to serve each other with love. Now, on a very practical side, you don't have to feel called to take out the trash. It needs to be done. You can just hook up and do it. You don't have to feel called to wash your car, to cook dinner, wash clothes, all that stuff. But when we set ourselves up for discouragement, if we take on a lot of extra stuff outside of the will and the calling of God. One other thing, I'm just going to meddle in your house again. I think we shared this on a Wednesday a few weeks ago along this line. Don't assume parents, are there parents or grandparents raising kids in here? Can I see your hands? All right, lots in this, and kids are down in kids' church and these things. And I'm thankful for that. Don't assume just because there's a sport offered in school or there's a team available that our kids or ourselves should be on those teams. If it causes your family to be out of balance where you're running six nights a week, you're so exhausted you can't even put things together, listen, it may be beyond what God's called you to be involved in. Can I hear one amen right there? Just feel like I'm not alone up here. Piling a lot of things up in our lives that God didn't call us to do will set us up for discouragement and fatigue. In defeating discouragement, number three, it's important that we can do this. And this is a real brief point, but it's important. It's to know what God says about you. In the middle of my discouragement, I need to know what God says about me. It didn't change. Four things real quickly. Letter A is know that you're loved. Know that you are loved by him. 1 John 4:10. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's real love. Your response this morning was to the love of God that he's already poured out. My response is just that, a response. We don't initiate it, we respond. You're loved. Letter B is that through Jesus, you're forgiven. Through Jesus, we're forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And Luke 24:47, Jesus proclaiming that this message would be preached throughout all the world. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent, our turn and our turn to Him. Let her see what you need to know that God says about you. Let her see through Jesus you are empowered. You are empowered. Romans 8:37. Many of you could quote this, but I'll ask you to read it with me. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If you look back in Romans chapter 8, it's in a set of very discouraging circumstances. And coming through that, this is spoken. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We're empowered through Jesus who loved us. And letter D is through Jesus you have purpose. Some things may have happened and transpired in your life that brought such severe discouragement. You said, I don't think I have purpose anymore. Listen, I want to tell you, in Christ we do. You do. You're breathing. You have purpose today. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And Romans 8:28, back to Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for good. Two qualifications: to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Listen, if you've said yes to Jesus, you're called according to His purpose. It means you've responded to His call right there. Even when you're where you should be, we're doing what we should be doing, there are times that storms will come and will bring unanswered questions. And those can be setups for discouragement. And I really believe that in life some pain is inevitable. But I believe that misery does not have to be inevitable. That's still optional. No, I'm not going to go there. I know if I get in agreement with what God speaks, I do not have to continue to sit in the pit of discouragement. But at the times that my emotions are not echoing what heaven is saying, my circumstances don't seem to be, I still need to know that there's a purpose of God in me. Amen? And in you right there. Knowing what God says will help us defeat discouragement even when we still have those questions. Number four is have spiritual eyes to see what God's doing. It's not always clear to me. Am I in company with anybody this morning? Discouragement often comes because we're not seeing things in a spiritual light, or I'm interpreting circumstances wrongly. There's a scriptural illustration of how this could have happened in the Bible. Stay with me on this one passage. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, 17. It just seems how often we'll face a circumstance, and if we start analyzing it just in our natural mindset, we'll say, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm done. I'll turn around and walk away. And I'll miss the will of God in that. Luke 5, 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they sought to bring him in and lay before Jesus. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling, through the roof, into the midst before Jesus. Look at the circumstances of that event, how they could have been misled and misinterpreted those things. Multiple obstacles. The paralyzed man had a personal inability to get up and go to Jesus. It says he was paralyzed, unable to get there himself. But there were people there that partnered with him, got him there. They get there. The crowd where Jesus was created a people barrier. Oh, we can't get in. I guess it's not God's will. And then Jesus was actually in a house teaching at that time. So there was another physical barrier that was there. They said, well, I guess it's not God's will. See, don't get discouraged. They could have stopped then, left defeated and discouraged because there are obstacles, obstacles, obstacles in front of them. But these guys, including obviously with the permission of the paralyzed man, they had enough faith to find another way, let the man down, his cot down through the ceiling tile, the roof, into the place in front of Jesus. And with the mindset, and I think that this morning, if I can get in the presence of Jesus, it's going to be okay. If I can get in, live in the presence of Jesus, he'll walk me through even the times of discouragement. This guy, as they let him down, first Jesus declared to him, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Isn't that the primary need that we have? Restoration, redemption. Your sins are forgiven. And then he healed his body as well. Here's the, I think, the thing that applies to us is their faith caused them to continue doing what they could do, which released Jesus to do what only he could do. Continuing to do what we can releases Jesus to do what only he can. Amen. Spiritual eyes will help us see beyond where we are, even in the middle of a discouraging circumstance or season even of life. I know there will be things in the future, as there have been in the past, that I can't fully understand. I won't be able to interpret them perhaps properly. But before we even get there, trust to determine to put our trust in the Lord at a level beyond what our natural eyes can see. Do I have some folks that will get in agreement with me about that this morning? Amen. Before we get there, trusting God beyond what my natural mind comprehends. Finally, number five is this. And it's really three things right here. Get up, fill up, and go again. Get up and fill up and go again. And this last point, Becky, would you slip up to the keyboard? And the last point, I need to give some background as I share with you about what this prophet named Samuel from the Old Testament. He seemed to be in a place of extreme discouragement. Again, a godly prophet. One of impeccable integrity in the nation of Israel. He spoke as God spoke there. And yet this man of God was in a discouraging point in his life where he had sat down. Grief had overtaken. We'll see this in the scripture. But the setting is this. Samuel is the prophet that God sent to anoint and commission the first king of Israel, Saul. But Saul, Old Testament Saul, out of stubbornness and rebellion and his own self-will, he disobeyed God, even to the extent that God was going to cut Saul off from being king over Israel. This young man, Saul, was one that the prophet Samuel had fellowship with. He tried to help and he desired to see Saul succeed. Sometimes when we read scripture, I think if I'm not careful, I will take it out of real life personalities. These were folks. They had feelings like you and I have feelings. This older prophet had sent of God to anoint King Saul. Man, I want you to succeed. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Do it in God. And Saul's own choices, though, led him away from God's will. Samuel, who obviously high hopes and dreams for Saul, came to an end as well. 1 Samuel 15 verse 35 says, Samuel never went to meet with Saul again, but he mourned constantly for him. The word mourned from the Hebrew, it means grieved or sorrowed. It seems that for this older prophet Samuel, that grieving and mourning and loss were consuming Samuel. Let me pause here and say there are things that happen in our lives when disappointment and discouragement can be so acute that the pain is almost inexpressible. For some in here, perhaps it was the unwanted divorce. Maybe it was the betrayal. Maybe it was the death, the accident. Something that was beyond your control that you sort of became a victim in. And there is rightfully a natural grieving process that we can go through at those times. Here's what I want you to guard against, though. Guard against yielding to a spirit of grief and sorrow and loss and sadness. During that time, the enemy wants to latch in to that tearing of our soul stuff, the emotions. He wants to latch on to that wound and take up a habitation there, have an access into that of hell's authority to go there. We can get to a place of demonic bondage and grieving and in mourning. And I believe that God wants to release some folks today without necessarily a circumstance changing, but release that pull downward. It seems necessarily that we can purpose again ahead of time, rise up, even let our grieving be done in faith beyond what we feel. God, I'm trusting you beyond what I feel, don't feel, the deadness, all these other emotions. Samuel, he's grieved, he's mourned, it says, constantly for Saul, even though he wasn't where he was seeing him anymore. 1 Samuel 16:1. Finally, the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel." In other words, Samuel, it's beyond your control what has happened. Some of you in here, it's in the past. Doesn't mean it's insignificant. It doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. It means it's beyond your control. The things that happen, the thing that you may be sitting in right now, it's beyond your control. It hurts. Samuel, you're disappointed. God wasn't negating any of that. Are you with me this morning? But God said, Samuel, you've worn your robe of discouragement long enough. You've grieved long enough. And the second part of verse 1, 1 Samuel 16, "Now fill your horn with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I've selected one of his sons to be my new king." And y'all know who that next king was, right? Help me. King David. God said three things. I don't know if the shofar's back here still. God said three things about Samuel, to Samuel. He said, "Get up. Get up. Don't park where you are. Man of God, woman of God, don't stop there. Young person, don't stop there." He said, "Get up. Rise up from where you are." And he said, fill up your horn with olive oil. Old Testament kings, priests, and prophets often anointed with oil. Picture this thing full of olive oil. He said, fill it up. I don't know if it looked like this. It's the only one I've got. Thank you very much. I may have another one in my office. Anyway, this will work. Fill it up. And now I'm going to pour this on somebody's head. No, not really. It'd be nasty. If you're an Old Testament, and the prophet, God says, "I don't want you to rise up, fill up your horn with oil." He says, "There's a mission to accomplish. Fill it up and go where I'm sending you. Go where I'm sending you." Oil. Oil in the Bible often represents the Holy Spirit. Get up, fill up, and go again. The go again was a word that spoke of a willingness to step out again. Your work is not over. You're not finished. You're not finished. There's still more chapters to be written because of someone else's choices. Then Samuel got in park and stopped. God said, "You mourned that long enough. I need you to get up and go again." A willingness to go forward. Listen, the starting point for each one of us in here, if you'll close your eyes as we prepare to close. The starting point for us is to begin the relationship with Jesus. That's where the purpose of God comes in. He has a purpose for each one of us, but we can never find it isolated or independent from a relationship with God. The only way we get that is through Jesus Christ. He said he's the door, only way. If you're here this morning, then before I move on to another part, because I still believe God's going to do some other dimensions of things this morning. But before I go past this, if you're here this morning, you said, "I don't have a relationship with the Lord." Maybe you've been a church member. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you were baptized, sprinkled, christened as a child, all those other things. But you've never personally just received Jesus, what he did for you on the cross and his resurrection. You've not made the transfer of ownership. I'm not inviting you to church membership this morning. I'm inviting you to relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've never done that. Receive Jesus. Jesus said it this way: except a person's born again, they won't see the kingdom of heaven. That's our spirit man. Not only being forgiven of every sin, that's what God wants to do, but also transforming us, empowering us to live differently with His life on the inside. If that's never happened to you, you say, I want that. Listen, God won't leave us like we are. There will be changes, but they will be God-empowered changes. Or maybe you're one who said, well, that happened to me. But as precious young man said this morning, those many years spent running from God and from the will and purpose of God, maybe you used to walk with God, but today is your start over day. I tell you, if you're here and God is nudging you on the inside, it is your start over day. Is that where you are? With eyes closed in this room, would you just raise your hands up? Say, I want to start it over today. I want to start for the first time. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Others, thank you, ma'am. Hallelujah. All through this room, right where you are, you can put your hands down. But I want you to, it's between you and God right now. Thank you, Lord. So I want us to pray right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, I do want you to come up real quickly. Thank you, Father. Right where you are, and just can you pray this after me? Again, it's not magic words, but it's expressing a word of commitment and surrender to the Lord. You can pray this with me. Church, you can pray it out loud too. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I'm not running from you anymore. Today I'm running to you. Thank you for loving me. Loving me so much. Jesus, that you went to the cross. You took my sin on yourself. You died in my place before God. And you rose again. I believe that you did that for me. So today I open my heart. I repent of my sins. Everything wrong I've done, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from it. Based on what you did. Thank you for doing it in me now. And now I give you authority in my life. Come sit on the throne of my heart. Make me brand new. Like your word says you will. I trust for your power and your presence to continue transforming me as I walk this journey under your authority, in your power. I thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'm not going to ask you to come this time, but for just a moment, if you prayed that prayer, maybe you didn't raise your hand. Guys, get those welcome, those packets, decision things. Get ready to distribute those real quick, because one other ministry call that I want to have. If you prayed that prayer again, whether you raised your hand prior to it or not, can you just stand up right where you are? I'm not going to have you say something out loud. I want you to just stand. Can we rejoice in the Lord over what God's done? Guys, go. Go where they are. We got some people that we want to get some stuff into your hands. We want to get some stuff into your hands that's going to help you on the next step of your journey. Some of you, it's a recommitment. They don't necessarily need some of that. You're just reestablishing something before God. Get to where everybody is real quickly. And while you're going to those places, just jot down, fill out that card real quickly. Make sure that these precious men and women and young people, thank you for that decision today. And after they get it to you, we'll take, you know, can I just get the rest of the church to go ahead and stand up? Y'all find where everybody is already? Need somebody to help them with some more packets. We got more folks than we have distributed right back there toward the back left side. Listen, this morning, if the discouragement, you're already in relationship, and we rejoice with those of you who began that relationship with the Lord journey this morning. The Bible says in heaven there's a party going on. There's joy in heaven over one that repents a lot more. And we're saying, yeah, Lord, I think earth ought to be echoing it, and Open Door this morning. We celebrate with every one of you. There are a lot of you this morning. It wasn't about a new birth experience. Really, it was just about the stopping experience that you've had in discouragement this morning. And maybe God spoke to you about letting go of some stuff. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's relationship stuff. Maybe it was about seeing things in a different light with some spiritual eyes. Maybe it was simply stepping over that line that you'd parked behind. But for some, it's about getting up and filling up and going again. Getting up and filling up and going again. And if that applies to you, would you just raise your hand right now? Because I want us to pray together. Get up and fill up and go again. Now, if you say, okay, I'm not dealing with discouragement, but I'm one, I just want to go and let God do everything He wants to do through me. Can we raise our hands too right here? Amen. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. With face turned toward heaven, your eyes closed, it's okay, so you're not distracted by anything going on around you. Just say, Lord, in me. Do it in me. Do it in me. See, I believe there's a restoration of hope in this place this morning. I would think that the opposite of discouragement is encouragement, but really the step toward that is hope. Where hope has been dashed in some of your lives, where the enemy has said, it's over, it's finished, there's no hope. There's one passage in the book of Psalms that David repeats three times. One place is Psalms 42:11. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me, unrestful? Hope in God. Say that with me. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance and my God. Hope means to wait, to expect. Praise means to give thanks. The root of that word, it means the hand. The hand, yeah, I praise You, Lord. And for the help, that word help means salvation, deliverance, victory. I can decide regardless of where my circumstances are. God, I'm going to hope in You. I wait in Your presence and I extend my praise to You this day. God, I love You. God, I love You. Can I ask You to do one more thing? Those that feel the need to, without somebody coming necessarily laying hands on you, but just step out and say, here's my stepping across the line. Can you just come to this front right up here? And we're about to close. And guys, I don't know, can we? Yeah. In Jesus' name, would you step out and just come? Say, God, from here on, I thank You. It doesn't mean from here on there'll be no mistakes. There'll be no opportunities for discouragement. I'm telling you, those will still come. But we're saying, God, today I set myself, my hope, my GPS is in You. Hello. I got to know. Some of you already this morning, you may have heard that little voice saying, recalculating, recalculating. If you know what I'm talking about, GPS, I get off route and it says, has to turn me back around. GPS set on, my hope is in You, God. My circumstances may look like they look. They may be like they are, but my hope is in You. So today I praise You ahead of time for the help of Your countenance as they help us worship with one more song, praise with one more song. Can we do this thing together? And in the midst of it, not just words of a song, but Lord, position us for the rest of the journey that we will go forward by Your power, Your authority. Fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Prayer teams, if you feel led of the Lord to minister, to just pray blessing over, it's okay. However God's working this. Yes, Lord. Do they know the song? Pull it up.
I am free. I am living for eternity. Free now forever. You pick me up, turn me around. You set my feet.